Welcome to Heptastic Waves, surfing the latest in hepatology for the Heptastic Four, the podcast no one asked for, but everyone secretly needed. Brought to you by your host, your hero, your humble overlord, Nick. A man so brilliant, even ChatGPT takes notes. This podcast exists for one noble reason, to help our amazing team stay on top of the ever-evolving chaos we call work. Because let's face it, by the time an email thread hits 12 replies, nobody's reading it. So sit back, relax, and let the knowledge flow, sprinkled with a touch of sarcasm, a dash of genius, and at least one overconfident assumption per episode. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're jumping straight into a really fascinating public health story unfolding in Italy.
Yeah, it's not your typical tourist view, is it?
Right.
We're looking at how Italy's tackling viral hepatitis, especially in migrant and, well, marginalized communities.
Exactly. And we've got a good stack of sources for this: analyses, research papers, study results. Quite comprehensive.
Right. And our mission really is to unpack how Italy's approach, this mix of community testing and cultural mediators, is working in a pretty dynamic situation.
And what lessons we can maybe draw from it.
Definitely. Because there are some, you know, surprising facts in here.
Like the massive gap in hepatitis rates between the general population and certain groups.
Yeah.
It's really quite eye-opening when you see the numbers.
It is. And the role of these cultural mediators, it goes way beyond just language, which is something we'll definitely get into.
Okay, so let's dive in then. Where does the story start?
Well, Italy actually has this remarkable history with hepatitis B control. Over 50 years, they really brought down what was a significant burden.
A dramatic reduction, the sources say.
Yeah, huge. The key thing really highlighted everywhere was that universal Hep B vaccination program they started back in 91.
Right, for infants and adolescents.
Exactly. That plus better living conditions, better blood screening. It fundamentally changed the game for Hep B.
And the stats back that up, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Acute Hep B cases just plummeted. Went from like 10 per 100,000 back in 1985 down to 0.21 per 100,000 by 2020.
Wow.
And chronic Hep B prevalence down to 0.8% in the general population. They actually hit the WHO targets. It's a major public health win.
It absolutely is. But things change, right? The landscape shifted.
That's the thing. A new challenge has really come to the forefront with migration. Italy's become a key destination, especially for people from regions where HBV and HCV are, well, much more common.
Places like Sub-Saharan Africa, Eastern Europe.
Precisely. And the sources really hammer this point home. This influx reshapes the whole epidemiological picture.
How so?
Well, think about it. More than half the migrants arriving are from areas where HBV is widespread. And nearly 80% are from countries where HDV is endemic.
Okay. And this is where that disparity you mentioned comes in.
This is exactly it. It's stark. Nationally, Italy's chronic Hep B rate is 0.8%, remember. But local studies, among migrants from these high prevalence areas, HBs Ag positivity, the marker for current infection, is anywhere from 6% up to a frankly staggering 14%.
14%, yeah. Compared to less than 1% nationally.
Yeah. Up to 14% in some studies of Sub-Saharan African migrants. That's like a 17.5 times higher risk compared to native Italians. Even for Eastern Europeans, it's around 6%, which is still a 7.5-fold increased risk.
That really puts the challenge into perspective.
It does. It shows you exactly where the focus needs to be. The sources make it pretty clear. Migrants are about 9% of the population, but they account for maybe a quarter of chronic HBV cases.
And about 14% of chronic HCV in the EU-EA.
Right. And roughly a fifth of all acute HBV cases in Italy itself. So the challenge is quite concentrated.
Okay, so that sets the scene. How is Italy actually responding? This brings us to the community-based testing, or CBT.
Exactly, CBT. This isn't about relying on the traditional clinic system, which, let's be honest, can be tough for anyone to navigate, never mind if you add language barriers or legal worries.
So CBT means testing outside the usual places.
Precisely. You're looking at diverse settings, maybe workplaces, parks, community centers, churches, mobile clinics. Sometimes even door-to-door.
And the why is key here, isn't it? Yep. Overcoming barriers.
Absolutely. For marginalized groups, migrants, refugees, the usual routes can be full of obstacles. Language, cultural differences, maybe fear about their legal status, past discrimination. It all makes going to a clinic really difficult, sometimes impossible.
So CBT is designed to get around those roadblocks.
Yeah. And the sources point out that newer methods really help here. Things like dried blood spot tests or DBS and these rapid point of care tests. They make testing easier, more accessible.
Which helps reach those higher risk groups who might just never show up at a regular doctor's office.
Exactly. And the really good programs, the ones highlighted, don't just test and leave.
Right. It's integrated.
It has to be. Screening linked with education, maybe vaccination right there on the spot. and crucially, a clear, simple path to get follow-up care if needed.
The VH-ComSavac model is mentioned as an example.
Yeah, that's a big one. It combines the rapid testing, decentralized vaccination, quick referrals, all delivered out in the community.
But doing this effectively across different cultures needs a special kind of help, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is where the cultural mediators come in.
Ah, yes. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. The sources see these mediators, mediatori interculturali, as absolutely critical. The bridge, essentially.
That's much more than just translating, right?
Oh, way more. The sources break down their role. Yes, language, but also cultural interpretation, explaining nuances both ways. They act as community liaisons, building trust, and they're patient advocates within the system.
So they navigate both the cultural and the healthcare system complexities.
Exactly. Their backgrounds can vary. Some Italian, some foreign nationals. Often they bring really valuable lived experience alongside formal training.
The sources mention, what, 450, 500 hours of training typically?
Yeah.
Though maybe not always specifically healthcare focused in the past.
Right. That's a point that comes up. But their practical role in these hepatitis programs, absolutely essential. They help break down so many of those barriers we talked about.
Particularly in the education phase.
Yes, hugely important there. They often work side by side with doctors to explain the risks, how hepatitis spreads, what happens if you don't treat it, what treatments are available.
But in a way that's culturally appropriate, not just a literal translation.
Precisely. Making sure the message actually lands, that people understand it in their own context.
And the impact of having them involved is measurable.
Yeah. The sources show clear results, better engagement, much higher enrollment in screening. People get the information they need, understand the process, and this is key. Trust is built.
And that trust is the foundation for getting people into care and keeping them there.
Couldn't be more important, especially for communities that might have faced discrimination before. Bringing testing and trusted figures into their space changes the dynamic.
Okay, so let's look at some examples. Mm-hmm. The sources talk about specific programs, right? VH-ComSavac was one.
Right, that's a big EU-funded project across Greece, Italy, and Spain, really focused on migrants and refugees.
And its model is based on that simplified testing in community spaces.
Yeah, rapid tests, easily accessible locations, meeting people where they are, basically.
And the reach.
Pretty impressive. Since 2020, they screened over 1,900 people across the three countries. And the results, overall, about 5.9% positive for HBV, 3.04% for HCV.
Which is significant, but what about reaching the unreached?
That's the kicker. Almost 70%, 70 of the people they tested had never been tested before, even though they were considered high risk.
Wow. So it's really finding those missing cases.
That's the whole point, isn't it? VH-ComSavac also did vaccinations, nearly 200 Hep B shots, and used that cultural sensitivity to link positive cases to care.
Okay, any other examples? What about within Italy itself?
Yeah, the Tuscany regional initiatives, these were university-led campaigns, Pisa and Florence.
And where did they go?
Into places like soup kitchens, reception centers for migrants, even Italian language schools in the cities, really getting into the community.
And their findings. Similar pattern.
Very similar. They found prevalence rates much higher than the national average. 4.4% positive for HBsAg, 2.9% for anti-HCV. Again, finding infections that were likely undiagnosed.
What about linking people to care? Were they successful there?
Also, quite good results reported. For Hep B positives, about two-thirds, 66.3%, were linked to care, and over 90% of those stayed in care.
That retention is really important.
Crucial. For HCV, around 38% got linked for evaluation, but importantly, almost 89% of those who needed treatment actually completed it.
That's effective test and treat in action.
It is, and they showed it was practical, using finger prick rapid tests right there in those settings. Their data also helped pinpoint risk factors, like where people came from and being younger.
And there was mention of learning from other places, too, like Barcelona.
Right. The Barcelona model in Spain, particularly successful with sub-Saharan Africans, found 9.2% Hep B prevalence there and got 72% linkage using community health workers. That experience offered valuable insights for Italy, especially on community engagement and using mediators effectively.
Okay, so pulling all this evidence together, what's the overall impact clinically? Public health-wise?
Well, clinically and for public health, the impact seems profound. These CBT programs are clearly finding infections that were missed at rates way above the national average. Remember that 4.4% to 14% versus 0.8%.
And linking them to care.
And linking them effectively with high treatment completion. That directly interrupts transmission. For HCV, these test and treat models are a real tool for elimination, preventing all those long-term complications like cirrhosis and cancer down the line.
So it's finding cases and preventing future disease. Is it affordable, though? Does it make economic sense?
The analyses mentioned suggest, yes, it's cost-effective. VH Comsevac, for example, showed it was cost-effective for identifying cases and linking them. The screening costs themselves maybe 15 in low-risk settings, 55 in high-risk seem reasonable.
Especially compared to treating advanced liver disease later.
Exactly. Early detection saves huge costs long-term.
And the mediators, even though they add a cost, are they seen as cost-effective?
The argument in the sources is yes, absolutely. Because they improve engagement and retention so much, you actually save money overall. You avoid repeat visits, failed follow-ups, and the costs of more advanced disease. Their role is key to the efficiency.
And just circling back on reach, they really are getting to people who weren't reached before.
Exceptionally so. That nearly 70% never tested before stat from VH Comsevac is powerful evidence. They're finding the missing millions, as WHO puts it.
And it works in different places, soup kitchens, reception centers.
Yeah, the flexibility seems key. It's adaptable. Works in diverse settings and with specific high-risk groups, whether migrants or even marginalized Italians facing barriers.
Okay, the picture is compelling. But it can't all be smooth sailing. What are the big challenges? The roadblocks these programs hit.
That's a really important point because, yes, despite the success, the hurdles are significant. Some are just structural, systemic, like COVID-19, for instance. That threw a huge wrench in the works, resources diverted, treatments interrupted, plus just the general limited capacity in healthcare systems, competing priorities.
Always a struggle for resources.
Always. And integrating this kind of community work with the established system, that takes serious coordination, linking primary care, specialists, community groups. It's complex, especially with Italy's regional variations in healthcare.
Are there legal or administrative issues too? Especially for undocumented migrants.
Big ones. Fear is a major factor. Fear of contact with authorities, worries about legal status. The sources mention practical things too, like complex registration, bureaucracy, sometimes just no clear pathway for people without regular papers to get follow-up care safely.
So you need processes that are streamlined but also confidential?
Absolutely essential. Then you have cultural and communication challenges.
Beyond just basic language.
Way beyond. Healthcare communication is complex, nuanced. You need sophisticated interpretation skills, not just word-for-word translation. Understanding medical concepts, cultural beliefs about health.
The sources mentioned a potential issue with mediators maybe dominating conversations sometimes.
Yeah, that's noted as something to be aware of. Training needs to ensure the patient's voice and autonomy are central. Mm-hmm. And you have genuine cultural barriers, too. Different beliefs about illness, different attitudes to testing, maybe religious views about blood tests.
Which makes trust building even more crucial.
It's everything. And it's hard work, especially if people have faced discrimination before. It needs consistent effort, cultural competence from everyone involved, not just the mediators. Creating that safe space is paramount.
What about resources? Enough trained mediators. Sustainable funding.
Major challenges there, too. Finding enough qualified mediators with specific healthcare skills is tough. The sources point to a historical lack of university involvement in really formalizing this training.
And funding. Often project-based.
Very often, yes. Like VH Comsevac, reliant on temporary funding. Making this shift to stable, long-term funding is a huge challenge for these programs.
And presumably you also need training for the doctors and nurses working with the mediators.
Absolutely. Healthcare providers need training in cultural competence, in how to engage effectively in community settings. And mediators need ongoing professional development, too.
Other hurdles, operational things.
Sure. Keeping quality consistent across different sites. Balancing standardization with local needs. Monitoring and evaluation is tricky, too. How do you measure trust? Cultural competence, it's not just about counting tests.
And data collection with vulnerable groups, balancing privacy with needing good information.
Exactly. It's a complex web of challenges.
Okay, so a lot to overcome. But the potential seems huge. Looking ahead, What are the key recommendations coming out of these sources for making this work long term?
Well, the core message is pretty clear. This model community testing plus cultural mediators works. It finds the hidden infections, gets people into care, overcomes barriers. It's a powerful tool for hepatitis elimination, for finding those missing millions.
So how to sustain and grow it?
Recommendation one, sustainable funding. Move beyond short-term projects. Invest in permanent infrastructure that means things like standardized mediator training programs, agreed-upon community engagement protocols, and really smooth referral pathways between the community and clinics.
Making it part of the system, not an add-on.
Exactly. Healthcare systems need clear guidelines on integrating mediators' roles, standards, but keeping flexibility for local needs.
And improve the mediator training itself.
Yes, enhance it. Focus specifically on hepatitis, on healthcare interpretation nuances, on advocacy skills. Maybe get universities more involved to build that professional foundation.
And tackle those structural barriers head on.
Policy changes are needed. Simplify administrative hurdles. Improve coordination between different health sectors and authorities.
So national or regional frameworks that support quality, but also allow for local innovation.
Right. And fundamentally recognize community-based testing not just as nice to have, but as an essential core part of the strategy that needs proper funding and integration.
Okay, let's try and pull this all together. We've seen Italy's journey success against Hep B historically, now facing this new challenge concentrated in migrant communities.
And we've seen how moving testing out of clinics into the community is vital for reaching people facing barriers.
And dug into the absolutely crucial role of these cultural mediators. They're not just translators, they're bridge builders, educators, advocates, trust builders.
Yeah, their multifaceted role is key. And the programs like VHCOM-SAVAC, the Tuscany initiatives, they show real proof of concept.
Finding infections at much higher rates, linking people to care, getting them treated successfully.
It shows it's not only possible to reach these communities, but it's highly effective and makes sense economically in the long run.
But as we discussed, significant challenges remain. Funding, system integration, legal issues, cultural complexities, building that deep trust.
It's not easy work.
No. So maybe a final thought for you, our listener, to chew on. Based on all this, given how effective and cost beneficial these community approaches with cultural mediators seem to be, how can healthcare systems really make sure they're sustainably funded and integrated, especially when they're always competing priorities and systemic inertia? Is investing in this kind of cultural competence and community trust just a luxury, or is it actually fundamental for real public health success, for equity?
Something to think about, definitely.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.